Praise the Lord, everybody. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And somebody said, an opportunity like this in the house of God again to worship together with other believers and to bless your holy name. Now, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, let's try that again. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Now, today, I want to take some time and tell us something that we don't hear too much about. Now, we hear a lot about generational curses and all of the things and so forth that may have been in the lives, in the generations before us, causing problems and so on like that. Well, today, I got good news. Amen. I want to talk about generational blessings, your spiritual heritage. Amen. Now, I don't particularly care too much about generational curse and all of that and so forth. I'll not tell you why. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, turn with me to verse 13. I'll tell you why. If any man be in Christ, they shouldn't worry too much about that unless you are not in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now let's take a look at this sentence that says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, unless the work that Christ did was incomplete. But remember, when he hung upon the cross, he said, it is finished. Amen, people? It is finished. Let's not be digging up these curses in the face of the Lord again. They are done. Hallelujah. Let's not be crucifying Christ again on the cross. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, but today, I want to tell us something that we should be focusing on. The generational blessings. Your spiritual heritage. Now, myself and many ministers from time to time have said that God has no grandchildren. And that is true. But I'm going to tell you something else that is even so true today. That whereas each person must establish their own relationship with God and continue to walk in his ways, God does do certain things for children and children's children because of some righteous person. And I'm going to show it to you today by the scriptures. Hallelujah. Now let us start by looking at some examples of how God put that smackdown blessing on somebody and transferred it to their children, and then to their children. Amen. Now, I want to also bring attention to your spiritual heritage. There is something that we got from God that you did not deserve. Amen. One scripture has already been quoted today that said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't something that we did, but it was something that God did. Hallelujah. And the blessings of God, they are the ones that God himself appoints. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 11, the people of the world that was then, they wanted to do something great. You know, they said, well, you know, Let's build this tower and, you know, let it thing reach to heaven and so forth. You know the story of the Tower of Babel. You know, that's not really my subject today, but I just want to bring something out of it. And when they planned to do all of this, it was outside of God. And they didn't, you know, they really didn't do it the way that God wanted. You know, and God said, well, you know, that's the end of that. I'm going to confuse their language and so forth, so they won't be able to do any of that, you know. But God handpicked Abraham. And he said to him in Genesis chapter 12. See, the people of the world wanted to do their thing that way. And God confused them, scattered them, and so forth. But then God just handpicked Abraham. It wasn't because Abraham did anything. As a matter of fact, Abraham didn't even know very much about the Lord then at all. You know, he grew up in a land of, you know, what you might call the infidels, you know, and so on. So, but the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 7, and the Lord appeared to Abraham, that was his name then, and said unto him, unto thy seed. Now, notice, he wasn't even talking about Abraham. See? So if you don't think that God can put a blessing on somebody's seed because of God choosing one person, listen carefully today. God said to Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. Hallelujah. And, you know, he said, look, I'm going to do some great things and so forth. You know, told him some other things. And so Abraham, you know, what he did was he built an altar unto the Lord and so on and so forth. Well, that was the first time the Lord told him that. But then the Lord will appear to him again many times, you know, down the road, you know, Genesis 15 and Genesis 17. The Lord will appear to him and the Lord will tell him certain things, you know, and so forth. So, when all of these things were happening, let's see what God had in mind. In Genesis 15, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision and said unto him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Now, it wasn't because Abraham chose the Lord. No, God chose him. Amen. And God just chose him, and then God began to tell him some things. So, well, Abraham said, well, you know, I mean, as long as I've got favor from the Lord, you know, well, what is it that you're going to give me, you know, and all of that, saying that I go childless? And then he began to plead his case with the Lord. And Abraham said, look, you know, I don't have a seed, but you already told me, you know, you're going to give this land to my seed, but I don't have a seed, so what are you going to do for me and all that? And the Lord told him, he said in verse 7, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I inherit? And then God began to tell him some things. And then later on, you know, God even told him what will happen to his seed, you know, which by that time he didn't have any child. He said, know of a surety in verse 13, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land, you know, that is not theirs. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years and all of that. Then he said, look, after that, then I'm going to bring them out with a great power and all of that and so forth. And I will punish that nation that afflicted them. And so God began to tell him things about his seed, even when he didn't have anything. And God began to give him promises, you know, concerning even his children when he didn't have anything, when he didn't have a child. But I'm going to bring out some key points today. How God passes these generational blessings down. And then I'm going to give us the secret of how to retain those generational blessings. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 17, God would appear to Abraham again. And the Lord appeared unto him again in verse 1 and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And God began to tell him many things. And so the Lord told him, look, I'm going to make a covenant with you now. Verse 4. This is my covenant that is with thee.
That thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, you already see that God is talking about blessings beyond Abraham. Amen?
Are you still with me, folks?
He's already talking about your seed. He's already talking about father of many nations. He's not just talking about Abraham. He's talking about things to come, even from his lineage.
And he said, look. He said, I will make thee to be exceeding fruitful. Now, the fruitful part is not just him. It's his children, you know. And I will make nations of thee. That's not Abraham. That's people to come from Abraham, you know. And he said, look, they will come out from thee, and I will establish. Now, listen to this in verse 7 of Genesis 17. And I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed. Hallelujah. Now, it was Abraham that God chose. But already God is putting the blessing on his seed. Are you still with me, folks? I will establish the covenant between me and thy seed and in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto them, unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. See, and he said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after. Notice how God put that generational blessing right there. I will give to you and to your seed that is after you. Hallelujah. And that's the way throughout the scriptures. I'm going to show you some more examples, you know. But the scripture is replete with examples like this, where God will put the blessing on somebody and put it on their seed also, even before the seed will come. Hallelujah. But there is a requirement for the seed to continue in that blessing. I will tell you about that later. Now, and he said, look, I will give you this place where you are in a stranger right now, but all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession will I give to you, and I will be their God. I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to your seed. Hallelujah. Especially your seed will I give it to, the Lord said. And God said unto Abraham, but thou shalt keep my covenant. You know, and all that. Thou and your seed after you. You know, that's always God's requirement. He wants everybody walking God's ways and keep his requirement. You know, so God told him that. Now, let's skip forward and see some reasons why God would do this. Well, there is something that the Lord tells us here in the book of Genesis chapter 18. When God gave a testimony concerning Abraham. And I preached on this message once before where I said, what is God's testimony about you? Well, this is what God said about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. He said, when he was about to go and carry out the judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said in verse 17 of Genesis 18, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Now, that's not just about Abraham. Abraham was going to die after, you know, a few years. But he was going to, how can you become a great and mighty nation after you die? Through your seed. Amen. And through the generation that comes after you. Now, seeing that Abraham will become a great and mighty people, and and he said, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. All the nations. Now, of course, Abraham's seed, there was a mighty seed that was Jesus, besides just Isaac. There was a different seed that could bring all the nations of the world to be blessed. And that was Christ that Abraham was talking about. I mean, that God was talking about. You have to read that in Galatians 3 also, that he was talking about Christ. Not exactly Isaac, but also Isaac, but then also Christ. Now, for I know him, talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the law to do justice and judgment and so forth, so that the Lord may bring upon them all the things that God spoke to Abraham their father. Now, can God say that of you? Can God say, I know you, that you will command your children after the ways of the Lord? Or you just let your children run loose? Let them watch any kind of TV. Let them do any kind of thing they want. Let them play video game all their life and so forth. Or will you command them after the Lord? What is God's testimony about you concerning how you can, and how he knows that you're going to raise your children? Think about that.
But let's go back to how God would continue this blessing. First, it was on Abraham. And now, it's going to be on Isaac. And you turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. And let's read the first few verses of Genesis 26. Now, this was Isaac now. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was there in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. Now, this is Isaac now, not Abraham. Abraham's gone. This is Isaac now. And the Lord told him, do not go down to Egypt and so forth, you know, but dwell in the land which I will tell thee of. Almost similar to what he told Abraham. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. And I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed. Now, this is almost the same thing. He spoke word to word to Abraham, and he's putting a right smack down on Isaac again. He gave the same promise to Abraham, and now he's putting it on Isaac. Unto you and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now, so I want to tell you something, folks. Isaac, he got a leg in before the Lord because of Abraham. That's right. Because of Abraham, God put the same blessing on Isaac. Can you say praise the Lord? And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars that are in heaven and so forth, and give to thy seed all these countries and all of these things and all these nations that are in thy seed. And he repeated the same thing that he told Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, this is the secret, folks. Why is God putting the blessing on Isaac that he put on Abraham? God is going to say it right here in this verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Now, that wasn't Isaac. That was Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed my voice to keep my charge and to keep my commandments and to keep my statutes and to keep my laws. Because he did that, and because I knew that he would command his children, therefore I will put the same blessing upon his children that I pronounce upon him. Hallelujah. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And God put it right there. The blessing that he's putting on Isaac right now is because Abraham obeyed God's voice. That's what God said. Now that's a generational blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, as if that was not enough, let's jump forward here now to Jacob, who comes after Isaac. And let's go to Genesis chapter 28. And we pick up the story from verse 10 in Genesis 28. Now, in this story, there was something that happened with Jacob and a vision of a ladder and all that. And Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached down to heaven, and behold, angels of God ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, now this is the Lord speaking to Jacob now. And listen to what God said, how he introduced himself to Jacob. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. That's right. And I am the God of Isaac, also your father. Now, Abraham actually was his grandfather, but God called him his father. God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac, and so forth. The land which thou liest upon will I give to thee and to thy seed. Now, that's the third time, folks. First, with Abraham, he repeated the same thing with Isaac. Now, he's saying the same thing with Jacob. Why? Because that Abraham obeyed the voice of the Lord. And God put that generational blessing right there. Now, this is what we should talk about more than the generational curse and so forth. God has already removed that curse. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth.
And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and to thy seed, and all of this is, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said it to Abraham, he said it to Isaac, and he's now saying it to Jacob. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, notice something that is very important here. Very, very important. The way that God passed the blessing on to the rest of them was because of the obedience of Abraham, which I already told you about. Also, remember how God already said that, I know Abraham, that he's going to command his children, and all of that, and so on. Wow. Are you commanding your children to follow the ways of the Lord? Well, before I go on to the next series of examples on how God put generational blessings, let's jump to this Deuteronomy 11. In the book of Deuteronomy, turn with me, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. Here is the charge that God gives to every one of us concerning our children. Now, in order for these generational blessings to remain, now the blessing is already there. Folks, yes, we say that God doesn't have grandchildren and so forth, and that's true. But I tell you something. God already places generational blessings in place. But the children must enter in themselves. It's a spiritual heritage that God has already put there. Just like Christ already paid. Before any of us were born, Christ already died on the cross. He already paid the price. And he's not coming back to die on the cross again. Amen. But today, we must enter into that blessing that Christ already did for us. The same way with his generational blessings from God. It's already there. But the child that comes after the father, from whom the blessings, through whom the blessings came down, the child that comes after that father must himself walk in the ways of God in order for the blessings to continue. But the blessing is already there. And this is the charge that God gives concerning all of us. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, kind of like these glasses that I'm wearing here. Let them be before you all the time so you can see, you know. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk in the way, when thou diest down, and when thou risest up. Tell it to your children all the time, whether they want to hear it or not. Hallelujah. Teach them the ways of the Lord with gravity. Hallelujah. Bible says if a man will be a bishop, he desires a good thing. But let him be one that has raised his children with gravity and with sound doctrine. You teach it to them and so forth, you know. And he said, and thou shalt write it upon the doorpost of thy house and up thy gates. Everywhere you go, let the word of God be there. Let it be known, you know, the ways of the Lord. Let it be known to your children. And he said, look, when you do all of these things, verse 21, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land, which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give unto them and so forth. As even as the days of heaven upon the earth. This is how God commands that we do it. He already put a blessing there, but we must pass the knowledge of God to our children so that they can stay in the blessing. Now, let me go back and tell you some other examples of how God, remember, these are key principles in the Bible. And these are key persons in the Bible. Abraham was a key father of faith in the Bible. This next storyline is in the line of David, who was another key person in the Bible. Hallelujah. And then, of course, there was Jesus. And from Abraham to David was 14 generations. And from David to the Christ was the same number of generations. And they were key in their times.
that God put those things there.
Now, let's look at this. In the book of, concerning David, let's look at the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, let me start at about verse 12. Now, this is God making a covenant with David. Because David wanted to build the house of the Lord, so he called, you know, he was doing things and so forth, and then he wanted to do that. And God called Nathan the prophet and said, well, I've seen what David wants to do. It's a good thing. But here's what you are going to go and tell him. And so the Lord sent Nathan to go and tell David some things. And the Lord told him many things. And one of the things he told him, I'm cutting down the story because of time. In verse 12, he said, and when thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, the seed never did anything yet. Whatever God is saying here, he's saying it because of David, not because of the seed, because the seed never did anything. Are you still with me, folks? The seed hasn't even been born. The seed that shall come out of your bowels, I'm going to do something for him. Because it was in your heart to build me a house. But I don't want you to build it. That other fellow will build it. And I will do something for him because of what you wanted to do for me. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. This is so deep, folks. If we live our lives right before the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 11 and 21, if you can turn real quickly and read it. He said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? Well, are you righteous? Would you consider yourself a righteous person? By your own righteousness or by the righteousness of Christ? Folks, are you righteous by your own righteousness? Are you righteous by the works of the law that you have done? Or are you righteous by the righteousness that is imputed on you through the blood of Jesus Christ? If you are righteous by the imputation that God did from Christ to you, then you can call yourself the righteous. And I believe by the grace of God, God calls me righteous. Praise the Lord. And God said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That means my seed will be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly the scriptures, and the word of God cannot fall to the ground. Praise ye the Lord. Now, so God began to tell him this. He said, look, because you wanted to do this for me, I'm going to do something for your seed. I'm going to establish your kingdom. And I will even establish your seed after them. And he shall build me a house. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom. And I will be his father. And he shall be my son. Oh, wow, my folks. This is something that God is even saying he's going to do for somebody that not even come. Because of what God saw in David. He said, look, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to even put this blessing upon your child. Your seed that is coming after you. Can you say praise the Lord? But God already saw the end from the beginning. He said, well, you know, even if he does some crazy stuff and so forth, you know, and goes away from the Lord and all of that, he said, you know, well, I'm going to chastise him, but my mercy will not depart from him. Yeah. Hallelujah, folks! That's right. Your children may be wayward or do whatever they want right now. God will chastise them, but his mercy will not depart from them. Hallelujah. God will bring them back. In fact, he promised, he said, in the last days, I will raise up the spirit of Elijah again. And I will turn back the hearts of the children to the fathers before I come and smite the earth with a curse. God will bring the children back to the good old ways, the good old paths, the way of life. Hallelujah. God will do it too, because he promised it and he swore it by himself. Hallelujah. And he will do it. Amen. So the Lord, he gave this promise to David. You know, and David, you know, David blessed the Lord and did all of that and so forth. Now let's see who this his son was. that the Lord was talking about David. Now, David was a man that was not perfect, before I go to his son. Of course, you know, there was a story of Uriah and Bathsheba and all of that and so forth. But for the most part, apart from that thing, David was a man whose heart was after the Lord. And the Lord punished him for that thing, and God took care of it. Praise the Lord. Today, if I ask you, what do you remember of David? Well, many people may say, oh, I remember that he was the one that went up against Goliath. Some people say, well, one of the greatest kings of Israel. Some people say, well, you know, I even remember this thing that he did with Uriah or whatever. I don't know whatever you remember, you know. But there's something that God remembered about David. Hallelujah. I was set upon his throne. Amen. God even chose the throne of David to set upon. Hallelujah. God said concerning the Christ, you know, God was even speaking about the Christ, that he will be from the throne of his father David. He said, and upon the throne of his father David, to establish it and to order it, his kingdom shall be of no end. Hallelujah. You can read all about that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and so forth. You know, God talking about the kingdom of Christ, you know, and how Christ will even sit down upon the throne of David. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, you know, God even said the throne of David. You know, he didn't call it the throne of Christ. He said the throne of David. Now, there is the throne of Christ. There's no good, get me not wrong, and so forth. But for the heritage, for that line, you know, there was a line that came from, I don't have time to go into all this, but there was a line that came from Abraham to David. And there was a line that went from David to Jesus. But then there is a line that goes from Jesus. Hallelujah! And that line goes forever and forever. My goodness. His own generation is not just 14 years. It's not just 14 generations. His generation is from everlasting to everlasting. The generation of the Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. There are some blessings that come upon us because of the Christ. Amen. It's our spiritual heritage, folks. You are not ever going to earn the grace of God. You can never earn it. In fact, if you want to earn the grace of God, then God will deal with you according to your own rules. That's right. You know, if you want God to deal with you according to that standard, no problem. But you will fail woefully every time. Because no man, you know, in fact, no man can stand before the Lord in their own righteousness. Our righteousness are like filthy rags when we are standing in our righteousness. But when we are standing in the righteousness which is by faith through what God did, the redemptive work of Christ, that righteousness is precious in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Now, getting back to this. After all of that, God will say to Solomon now. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Now, Solomon was the one that God chose after David. And of course, Solomon did build that house. He built the house of the Lord and his own house. It took him a combined 20 years to do all of that. And then when he finished building the house and all that, one day, you know, the Lord, he was praying, and then the Lord appeared unto him. Listen to what God said to him. This was the second time the Lord appeared to him. First time, 1 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to read that one. But this one, 1 Kings chapter 9, the Lord appeared to him. And let's see what the Lord would say to him again. 1 Kings chapter 9. Let me read the first few verses of 1 Kings chapter 9. And it came to pass that when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all of Solomon's desires which it pleased him to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Now, Solomon gave that wonderful prayer of dedication to the temple in 1 Kings 8. And then the Lord appeared to him here. He said, I've heard thy supplication that, you know, and that thou hast made before me. And I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And my eyes, you know, and my heart shall be there perpetually. Hallelujah. And so God is going to give him the condition now. This is what he always does. Now, God already put the blessing upon him because of his father David. But God is now going to give him the condition. Now, if thou will walk before me, as David your father walked in the integrity of his heart and the uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish. Now remember, God already told David that I'm going to establish the kingdom of your seed. Amen. Now God is now talking to that seed and saying, I will establish your kingdom, but you must do this. See, so this is the requirement. The blessing is already there, folks. The spiritual heritage is already there. But then each person must step into the light and walk with God. And God said, if you will walk in my ways, like your father did and so forth, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, even as I promised to thy father, David. It wasn't exactly Solomon that God promised it to. God promised it to his father. And God is now keeping his promise, but he's renewing the promise with a little comma. You know, say, well, you know, the promise is there, but you must do this. Just like your father did. You must also walk in the integrity of your heart. You must do this before me. And if you do, like I promised your father, I will establish your kingdom forever. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Well, whether he did or not, that's a different story. You know, and I will point something out about the lessons of Solomon, which I will preach a full sermon on that later on, but I will point something out. You know, so the Lord gave the promise to Solomon again. Wow. Same promise that he gave to, what's his name? David, his father. Now, the story of Solomon didn't quite turn out very well. And I'm going to bring something out here. Digress a little bit, but I'll bring something out. Because of where we are and the age that we are living in. We have a lot of Pentecostal churches today, you know, that focus on prosperity and affluence and all the great things of life. And they try to measure, you know, your stand with God by how much material wealth and blessing, I mean, so-called prosperity you have in your life. If you have this, you know, then that means, you know, your standing with God is right. If you are driving this kind of car, or you wear this kind of clothes, and you look kind of sharp like this, and you look like this and so forth, then you are good. Well, there could be nothing farther from the truth. Amen. Amen, folks. The place that we have in God is regardless of material things. Whether you have or don't have, how much you have or don't have, has nothing to do with your walk with God. Now, of course, God will bless you. God always blesses his people. But that's not the measure of your standing with God. Amen. Now, Solomon, like no other king. In fact, God said himself, I will bless you like no king. You can read the story in the 1 Kings 4. When God asked me anything, and he said, look, I'm a young man. And you're giving me this great kingdom. I don't even know how to do it. Therefore, give me wisdom and understanding that I may know how to lead your people aright. And God said to me, because you have not even asked for wealth and riches, and because you have not asked for a prolonged life or even the life of your enemies, therefore, not only will I give you the wisdom and understanding heart that you have asked for, but I will give you the riches that you have not asked for, so that there will be no king before you. Now, if I had asked you that trivia question before and say, who was the king that was most blessed? Maybe you would have given me a different answer than Solomon. But Solomon was the one. Because God said it himself, no king before you and no king after you will be like what I will give unto you. Hallelujah, somebody. And God did. In fact, the queen of Sheba, she came and said, look, I've heard great things about you, but the half of it was not even told. Now that I have seen your ascent to the house of the Lord, I've seen the greatness, I've seen your table, I've seen your servants, I've seen all these things. There was nobody like you. You know, and he had riches even unto madness. Madness, folks. Or you can read some of his writings in Ecclesiastes. Madness. 700 wives, 1,000 concubines, all of these things and so forth. His heart was not right with God at the end. In spite of all those riches, in spite of the fact that God appeared to him twice, folks, yet his heart was not right with God. Listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 11. In 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon loved strange wives.
Cleave unto the people that God had warned them. Stay away from those people because they will turn your heart from the Lord. They will turn your heart to idolatry. Stay away from those nations. Don't marry them and don't let them marry from you. But he didn't listen. He loved many strange wives. You know? And at the end of his days, his heart was turned away from following after his God. He started out right, folks. Oh, yeah. He started out right. But then when riches began to increase, see, when things began to be great for him, when he could just call and ask for any woman he wanted, when things were just, madness, folks. He could do anything. Finally, he said, vanity upon vanity. All of these things are vanity. You know, but when he was doing it, he didn't think it was vanity then, you know. And he was doing all of these things and so forth. And finally, all those things threw his heart away from the Lord. And he did not stay with the Lord his God. Therefore, the Lord rent the kingdom from him. That's right. And the Lord, when he would rent the kingdom from him, he gave it to his servant. Not even his son. Folks, don't let God do the breach of his promise on your life. Because if he does, you are finished. You must stay with the word of God. You must stay with the ways of God. So read this story in 1 Kings 11. I don't have time to read all of it. But in verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel that had appeared unto him twice. I don't care if you see vision. I don't care if you've been had an experience with God. If you don't stay with God, your heart will walk away from God. God appeared to this man twice. Now, in those days, God didn't appear to people every day like some people claim today, you know. But God appeared to this man twice. And God spoke and gave him incredible things. Yet his heart went away from God. Now, if you go by the standard of the Pentecostal churches today, that look at affluence and so forth, they would say that, you know, this man was probably the best in the whole world because he had all these great things. Now, let me tell you something, folks. This man was the seed of Christ. Amen? That's right. This Solomon was God's seed. And God knew how to preserve him. God will preserve his seed. He would judge them by judgment and different things and so forth, but he knows how to preserve them finally. Oh, yes. And Solomon, eventually, he'll be there. He may make it in, pass through the skin of his teeth, and he'll have a story to tell you if you make it there too. Praise the Lord. But you don't need to wait there to learn the story of Solomon. You can learn it right now. That all those riches and so forth like that don't define you. Amen. What defines you is whether your heart is right with God. Is your heart right with God? That's what defines you. So anyway, that was another generational blessing that passed from David to Solomon. And I have many more examples, but I'm running out of time. Suffice right now with those two examples. I will now jump to the Christ himself. Praise the Lord. The reason you are sitting here today is because of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily because of Abraham. Not exactly because of David. But because of Jesus Christ. And to him we give all the praise. And we give all the glory. Now, the blessing that God put for you in Christ. The only way for you to lose that blessing is for you not to walk in God's ways. If you walk in his ways, you will be delivered. Hallelujah. And you will inherit eternal life and the very nature of Christ. You will be called sons of God. Now remember, God already called you sons of God. Even before you did anything. Beloved, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us already, that we should be called the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. You know now, yeah, God already said. God already saw the end from the beginning. And God already put that blessing in the lineage of Christ. But for each person to retain that blessing, they must latch on to the ways of God. They must follow hard after the Lord with all their heart. Now, the generation of the younger ones. Listen to me, you younger folks. I've been there, done that. Maybe not done all those things that you did. But done that as far as chasing after the wealth. Because look, you're raising families. Have you got bills to pay and all of these things and so forth? And we know you have to do that. But let your heart be right with God. The first and foremost commandment is for you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Amen. Don't give him some of your heart. 99% of it is after your job and all of that. No. God wants all your heart. Praise the Lord. We have to raise children. We have to do all of these things. But, you know, God is in the generation of the righteous. Amen. God can be on your life. He can be doing all of these things and still be in God. Praise the Lord. Now, we should not have two lives. We should not have a religious life or spiritual life and a secular life. There's no such thing. For the real Jew, you cannot divide their religious life from their secular life. It's the same to them. Hallelujah. That's the same way it should be to us. Whether you are at church or at school or at work or wherever you are, or even on the basketball court or anything, hanging out with your friend, God should be in you. And the light of Christ should be shining through you all the time. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read some promises to you concerning the generation of the righteous. And I'm going to do something special here today after this, when I close this service. So you don't go away. Listen to this message. And then when I begin to do what the Lord put in my heart, you'll see what the Lord has for us. Let me read to you. I already read to you the promise of God in Proverbs 11:21. Let me read to you this. In the book of Psalms 112. Psalm 112. Let's see what the Lord said about the promises for the righteous. Praise ye the Lord, he said. Come on, somebody. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, now not just the man, but his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. How many of you can say amen to that? So that's not just the blessing for the man himself. Well, the man himself is blessed. But because he loves the Lord, his seed also shall be blessed. This is generational blessing, folks. The seed of the righteous shall be blessed and mighty upon the earth. Hallelujah. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. That means forever means beyond his own lifetime. That's right. Even into the life of his children and his children's children. Praise the Lord. Because he has already ordered them after the ways of the Lord. That's right. And you can read all the blessings that God put upon the righteous man. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Now, what will happen to everyone that feareth the Lord, that walks in his ways? Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. But it doesn't end there. For walking with the Lord, for your heart being right with God, there are blessings for you. But then there are blessings for everyone in your life. Your wife, hallelujah, shall be as a fruitful vine besides the house and so forth. Thy children, hallelujah, shall be round about your table. So God begin to spread the blessing to the wife. He begin to spread the blessing to the children. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Hallelujah. He'll be blessed
by the blessing of God and on his wife. He will be blessed by the blessing of God on his children. He will even see his children's children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know that my father, my dad, when he was alive, he passed on now. You know, he had like four generations and so forth. And I said, if the Lord tarries, I will break that record. Now, I wish the Lord doesn't tarry because I won't go from here. But if the Lord tarries, I will see five generations. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Lord said, you will see children's children. Children, and I will even see peace upon Israel. Hallelujah. I don't care what's going on now. The Lord said, we shall see peace upon the Israel of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, folks, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Let me round up what we have said by saying that the blessing of God is automatically conferred upon the seed of the righteous because of the obedience of the righteous. Not even for their seed. There are so many people that God has counted things on their behalf before they were ever even born. The Bible said, Levi. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 9. Before he was even born, you know, he paid tithes in Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7. You can read it there. He wasn't even born, but he was giving tithes already. Praise the Lord. Because he was yet in the loins of Abraham. God was already counting something for him, even though he wasn't even born. Look, there's some things that God has already done for us on the cross just 2,000 years ago. And we are here today receiving the benefits of that. Amen. The same thing for your children. Now, folks, you know, there's a reason why God said, honor thy father and thy mother. Especially, now this goes whether they are unbelievers or not, it doesn't matter. But especially when they are believers. Because I tell you something. And the fathers and the mothers and so forth like that, God has put a special something upon them. Amen. Amen, folks. Especially the father. God has put upon them a blessing that they can bless their children with. And God will stand by it. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Or you can read all about it in the Bible. Jacob leaning upon his staff. He told of all the things that will happen to his 12 tribes. Exactly the way he said it is the way he came out to be. Whatever those people said is the way it is. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and sometimes it's like, these people, I mean, they were not even, what? But the Bible in one place said, well, he was a prophet. You know, at that point in time, he became a prophet because he would pronounce the generational blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, God has put you, the man, in the house, as the prophet to pronounce and the priest to pronounce the blessing upon your children. Or rather, to enforce, declare the blessing that God has already allowed. See, God has allowed it. See, by your righteousness, your children get a foot in the door. That's right. They already do. And God, the Bible says, you know, you know, hence why your children are unholy. But now they are clean. Your children already have a foot in the door. But they themselves must stay in the law. Otherwise they will lose the privilege. That's how it works. God doesn't have grandchildren. But they have an in. They get an in because of who they are. Praise the Lord. A name matters a lot. You know. So if your name is, you have the name of somebody. You know, important and so forth like that, you know. I mean, if all of a sudden your last name is Rockefeller or something like that, you may not be related to the guy. Or your last name is, somebody else important like that, you know. People may think that you're somebody. Or your last name is Kennedy, or your last name is Bush, or your last name is Clinton, or your last name is this or that and so forth. Well, what if your last name is Jesus Christ? Of whom all the families in heaven are named. Folks, these are people that will perish, and the things of the world will perish with the using thereof. But you should see yourself from the eternal stock that you are part of. You are not just from here or there. You are from the living stock, which is Jesus Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. And if you understand that message, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can do better than that. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Now, don't forget the lessons that we learned in the story of Solomon, even though it was not the title of the subject today. Because of his heart not being right with God, kingdom was finally yanked from him, even though the blessing was there and his to gain and to retain. But his heart not being right with God created the scenario that caused the Lord to yank the kingdom from him. Hallelujah. But I will read this one verse to you. When the Lord pronounced the judgment to him in 1 Kings chapter 11, here is what God said finally in verse 13, to still bring to you that the generational blessing and generational mercy is still there. The Lord said, you know, he said, I will rend the kingdom from him. God took the divided the kingdom to 10 kings. It was in the days of Solomon that happened. The kingdom was unified before then. And the Lord said, I will reign the kingdom, I will do all of these things and so forth. He said, but I will give one kingdom, one tribe to David, his father. Now listen to this. How be it? I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake. Hello, folks. If you think God can't do things for your children because of your sake, then you gotta, the devil wants you to have another thing coming. You know, God can do things for your children because of your sake. Hallelujah. God has been doing things for my children because of my sake. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Has God been doing things for your children because of your sake? Now, we're going to go into prayers right now. Now, listen to me, folks. I want to do something here today. Amen? Now, for every family that is here, I want you to gather around, spread over all this place. And that's from the top to the bottom. I don't want little families. For instance, my family includes Dabby and everybody and Tubi and the rest of them all the way down. They are my children. Amen? So one clan, you gather around. And let the father, or whoever is the head in that family, let them pronounce and bring the blessing of God today. Praise the Lord. And if you are here by yourself, you are not in any family, you are in my family. You can join my group. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, some of you may not know that that is actually true. By being pastor and so forth like that, God has made me a spiritual father. Amen? That means also I can pronounce the blessing upon the entire church, actually. Praise the Lord. So I want you to spread up all over this place. I want my family here, right here. And anybody else that is here alone and are not with their family, join my family here. All over. Come on, folks. Don't be standing around. Gather with your families. And form a circle with your families. And we're going to make this prayer. And you're going to see, first of all, I want you to remember, we're not talking about, you can use the wings, please. There's plenty of space. Let's spread out to the wings. Some people go over there. Let's spread out so you don't be listening to what the other family is saying. Spread out all over the place. You know, spread out to the wings. Can some of you go over there, please? On the wings as well. Now, listen to me, please. We are still in prayer. I don't want anybody talking. Listen to this. We are still in the service. You need to follow directions in order for this to work for you. I want everybody here gathered around in their families. Some of you can go over to the wings there, like I said, and some can go over there. I want you gathered in your families. And we are going to make this declaration. We're going to make this declaration. I want my family come around. Everybody come around here. That's right. And those of you who are here, you are part of my family as well. Come around. Let's all gather here. And here's what we are going to do. In every family, I want you to begin to thank the Lord for the generational blessings. Forget the generational curse. That's gone. Amen. Amen. I don't even want to hear about it ever again. Amen. Amen. Christ has abolished that. Amen. It's gone. But we need to establish the generational blessings. I need to establish the reason why God must bless my children. Because the Bible says that the seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. So I want us to begin to go into prayers. Join hands in every circle that you are in. Join hands over here. Hallelujah. Let's join hands. Let's join hands and let's begin to pray. Those of you who are children, receive the blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless all of my children that are in this circle. I bless everybody that are in this circle. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because you said the blessing, the seed of the righteous, shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, I command the mightiness, the greatness from God to be upon them. I confer upon them greatness from the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command the blessing from God upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and I pray that you cause their hearts to be steadfast before you. That their hearts will not turn to the left nor the right. But that they will stay with the word of God. Even in this corrupt, even in this adulterous generation. That they will stay with the word of God. And Father, O Lord Jesus, teach them, Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord. To know the good old way and the good old path. Wherein is the truth. That they may go therein and walk therein. And Father, Lord, let the blessing of the Lord remain in the tabernacle of the righteous. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to begin to pray for yourself. I want you to begin to receive the blessing. Receive the blessing for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a promise of God which will never fail. Hallelujah. Koriba shenderi la kusi maratoya. Begin to thank the Lord for what he has done. There is a blessing for you. Because of your spiritual heritage, there is a blessing for you. And then the heritage that you have in Christ. Ooh, what a blessedness. What a blessedness for the heritage that you have in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Join hands right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to break away for a minute. And I want you to listen. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to pronounce the blessing upon the entire church. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for everybody that is here. And I thank you for everybody that is represented here today. Some of our folks are not here today, but they are represented here. And I thank you, Lord. Because we are the generation of Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, who shall declare his generation? I've declared his generation here today. I have declared the generation of the Christ to you today. Take the name of Jesus with you. Don't ever be ashamed of that name. If you are ashamed of that name, then some of these blessings may slip by you. But if you stand in that name, the blessing that I will pronounce today will be yours. Amen. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word of God. The word of God which cannot be broken. Every word of God is pure. And the word of God is tried. It's tried in our hearts and our lives every day. Now, Lord Jesus, I charge this congregation, I charge every one of you in the name of the Lord, that ye shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind. That you shall follow hard after him, and you shall not turn to the left or turn to the right. And that you shall not follow the ways of the world. But you will follow the way of the Lord. And if you will do this thing, and you will hearken to his commandments, to obey his voice, to do all his statutes and to keep his word. And if you will honor your parents, for those of you who are young, who are here that have parents, for this is the first promise, I mean commandment with promise. And if you will do the charge that I place before you today, to keep the charge of the Lord, then let the windows of heaven be open.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let the forces of heaven bring down all the promises of God that are in the scriptures into your life. For God has given us great and exceeding promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Having therefore, dearly beloved, these promises of God, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and of the mind, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, behold your people. Hallelujah. I want you to disjoin your hands and just lift your hands up before the Lord, all over this auditorium. The Lord bless you and keep you. The name of the Lord God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ Almighty, be with you. Be a banner unto you. Because you are the seed of the Lord. The Lord bless your going out and your coming in. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Hallelujah. The Lord bless your bread basket. The Lord bless your storehouse. The Lord bless you in the city. The Lord bless you in the field. The Lord bless you in your going out and your coming in. The Lord make you to be above only and not beneath. The Lord make you to be head and not the tail. The Lord make you to be lenders and not borrowers. Hallelujah. The Lord make you to be the light that shines in darkness, lighting up the corner where you are, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord make the fear of you. That's right. The Lord make the fear of you fall upon the hidden nations, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. The Lord establish his good covenant upon you. Only that thou be careful to follow his ways and observe all that I command you this day, to stay with the word of God and not to follow the glamour of the world, and stay with the ways of the Lord, and the Lord shall bless you.
Amen.
The Lord shall reward your faithfulness.
Amen.
And for every one of you, the Bible says, who is it among you that obeyeth, that loveth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and yet sits in darkness? Let him stay upon his God, and the Lord will reward you speedily.
Amen.
The Lord said he will answer his elect speedily.
Amen.
He will not fail you.
Amen.
The mercy of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
And the favor of God be with you and your house.
Amen.
And for all your children, your seed and their children, they are the blessed of the Lord. How many of you can say amen to that? Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 115, he says this concerning you and your children. Let me read it to you what he says. The Lord, in verse 14 of Psalm 115, shall increase you more and more, you and your children. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord will increase you on the left.
Amen.
The Lord will increase you on the right.
Amen.
And the Lord will no more give your seed and your corn and the labor of your hand to the devourer.
Amen.
But your mouth shall eat the fruit of your hands.
Amen.
You shall build houses and inhabit them.
Amen.
You shall eat of your own vineyard. Of your own labor, you shall eat. Hallelujah. For this is the gift of God, that a man should enjoy all the labor of his hand. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. And for those of you who are looking to the Lord for anything, whatever it may be a job, maybe whatever, I want to say to you this day, because of the grace of God that is in this place, I say unto you, wait I say, upon the Lord. Wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said one time, He said, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy line be called barren anymore. But you'll be called Hephzibah. And your name shall be called Beulah. For the Lord, even as a young man married the virgins, he said, the Lord will marry your land. He will marry you. You will not be forsaken. The Lord will gather you under his wings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now our eyes, O Lord, are upon you. Our eyes are upon you, Lord, this day. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, unto the Lord from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody that believes this confirmment of grace, you can say amen with me.
Amen.
If you receive it, you can say amen.
Amen.
Hereby I confer unto you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these blessings, and they shall overtake you. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.